Let's open up our Bibles and let's get over into Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 here. And let's go to verse 46. Luke 6 and 46, okay? Jesus here speaking. He says, "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he's like. He's like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Now, Jesus is trying to help us to understand that we need to be founded upon Him. That's what He's talking about here. He's talking about the fact that you and I have to have our foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's an oxymoron to say that Jesus is your Lord and not do what He says. I mean, come on, think about it. People say, I mean, and you know, the church overall says it all the time. We could look around and we know all kinds of people that are not here tonight that say Jesus is Lord. But what He says is, "Forsake not the assembly of yourself together," as a matter of some is, right? Even more say so as you see the day approaching. So we see those things, and we have to wonder, what kind of foundation are they working with? Come on, think about that for a minute. You know, in Matthew of this same account, Jesus calls the man that built on the rock wise. And He calls the man that built on the sand foolish. I don't know about you, but I want to be the wise man that builds on a rock. I mean, come on, think about this. He's talking about the foundation. He put his foundation on a rock. What's the first thing that a house inspector does when he comes to inspect a house? He crawls under the house and looks at the foundation of that house. Why is that? Well, because if the foundation is good, then everything else is pretty well superficial. Because if that house has a good foundation, then you can change all the top of it. But if the foundation is bad, the whole thing's got to come down and the whole thing's got to be rebuilt. It's not a remodel then, it's a rebuild. So, you know, when we start looking at our lives, we got to understand that the believer's foundation is the Word of God. Amen. Our foundation comes from the Word of God. Now, in 1 Corinthians, I want to take you over here and I want to show you something over here. Go there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's look at verse 10 here. Verse 10. It says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is in Christ Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself, if any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness." Now, I want us just to kind of just take our time and kind of look and see what he says here. Matter of fact, before I do, though, let me give you on the Amplified the first 14 and 15 here. He says, it says, if the work which any person has built on this foundation, any product of his efforts whatsoever survives this test, he will get his reward. But if a person's work is burned up under the test, he will suffer the loss, all of it, losing his reward, though he himself will be saved, but only as one who has passed through the fire. So when Paul's writing to Corinthians, he's talking about, he said, listen, the only foundation we can build upon is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only works that we can do that are going to stand the test is going to be the works that build upon the kingdom of God. It's not going to be. Notice when he's talking about gold and silver and wood and hay and stubble, he's talking about building things upon the world and on the world system. You see, our foundation has to be built upon the Word of God and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to build our foundation by getting in the Word and standing and doing what the Word of God says. It can't be what our accomplishments are in the world. You remember Paul said, everything I think that I've gained in this world, I count it just as dung. He said it means nothing. The world has nothing for us. Everything that we do needs to be and have some kind of kingdom purpose to it. And see, that's hard for us because we live in this world and a lot of times we think worldly and we watch the world and watch what they do. But you see, you understand you're not of this world. You're of the kingdom of God, and so your accomplishments may need to be in your kingdom. Let them do what they want to in the world. Come on now. How many of you remember the name of the man that invented penicillin? That ought to be an easy one. Anybody remember Louis Pasteur? See, well, I mean, you know, probably one of the most important antibiotics that has ever been discovered. Discovered it on accident, but probably one of the most, saved our lives more time than what we know, and sure saved us a lot of misery more times than what we know, and we don't even know his name. Why? Because things of the world fade away. Names in the world. I'll bet you at one time he was held, I mean, very high in the world realm of science and the medical society and all that. He's probably the name to be the person like him. And now, most of us don't even know his name. You see, but it seems like even the church is trying to make themselves a name in the world. They're trying to make their kids a name in the world. But I promise you that that name is just going to go away. You know, when Kentucky, and everybody goes Kentucky crazy, when they're playing basketball, you know, whatever team's playing, man, they know their stats, they know their names and all that. But I bet you if we back that back up 10 years and you start trying to figure out who all was playing, you're like, you know, maybe you remember some of the greatest, but the rest of them just kind of fade away. Why? Because things in this world disappear. We need to make sure that we're making names that'll last forever, that'll have a heavenly reward to them. Notice he said, if you build upon the foundation of Christ, it can stand the test of the fire and you'll get a reward for it. Notice that. I mean, the only rewards that matter is going to be the ones we get in heaven, not what we get on earth here. Amen. But he goes ahead and he says, what you build gets burned up with fire. Not only are you going to lose your reward, notice what he says. You still be saved, but notice what he says. It's like you being put through the fire. In other words, it ain't going to be so pleasant. I mean, you know, it'll be a shame to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and you, the Bible says, we're all going to come before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the sinner going to come before the great white throne judgment. But everybody's going to stand there before the judgment seat of Christ. And it says, we'll give an account for the things that we've done. And it'll be tried by fire. In other words, if we've done kingdomly things, then we're going to see it stand. We're going to get a crown for it. We're going to get a reward for it. But if it's not kingdom things, it's going to burn right there in front of our faces. Think about that for just a minute. Yes, it's all about a kingdom connection, about being connected to Him. And so, I just want us to see this because no other foundation is going to stand except the kingdom that we build upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I thought about this and I thought, what are really some of the components of a foundation in Christ for the believer? And I started thinking about it. So let's go over to Matthew. Let me show you some things here. A couple things. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13 here. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and other Jeremias or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, here we have one of the components to building a foundation in Christ. And that first one is this. It's the fact that Jesus asked them, they said, you know, "Who do they say I am?" And they said, well, you know, some say. What they're saying is, this is what the world says. This is what the world says. I mean, you know, if you listen to the world right now, they still won't recognize Jesus as Lord. Because He's not their Lord. They don't want to hear anything about Jesus. They don't want nothing to do with God, because anytime they acknowledge God, they have to acknowledge they're wrong. Come on. That's why it's hard to get them to recognize truth in this country right now, is because they don't want to recognize they're wrong. You know, in the natural, but especially in the spiritual realm. They said, the world says, you know, you're one of your Jeremiah's, you're, you know. But then Peter says, he didn't say what men said. Here's what Peter said. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, what Peter just did there, because Jesus said it, Jesus said, you didn't get this in the natural. That's what you didn't get this from the world. That came straight from the heaven. God gave you revelation knowledge of who I am. That's what Peter just had, revelation knowledge of who Jesus is. And then Jesus goes on and begins to call him a rock. Well, it's not just because Peter means stone. He was talking about the rock of revelation that he just received, because he goes on and he says, "And upon this rock I'll build my church." See, the church's foundation is built upon, number one, the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. If you can't get a revelation that He's the Son of the living God, then you'll never even be born again. You have to get that revelation. You have to see that. You have to believe that. That is the number one component to the foundation in Christ. The reason people are not saved is because they don't receive Jesus as their Lord, and therefore they don't have that revelation. And so, this was revelation to Peter. Now, how do we get kind of revelation? This kind of revelation knowledge. Well, here's this. This is the sum of it. Okay, revelation knowledge comes from two things: spending time with God and spending time in the Word of God. That's how you get revelation knowledge. Now, Peter didn't have the Word of God, but he was spending time with God. You and I are blessed. We have the Word of God. Now, you know, you could say, well, yeah, but Peter was with Jesus right there personally. Well, you have a personal relationship with Jesus too. You might not conceive, but if you're living a life of faith, then you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have that relationship with Him, and then you get into His Word, because He is the Word, and that's where when you'll get revelation knowledge. You see, God will reveal things to you through His Word. And if it's something that's already been revealed, sometimes then there'll be something there that He will illuminate to you. You ever read something and you knew it, But all of a sudden, it just jumped up at you. I mean, man, I never did see it that way before. Well, it just got illuminated to you. You see, because the Word of God is really progressive revelation to us. The more you read it, the more God can give you from it. If you're taking time to study it. Now, I'm not talking about just doing a buzz so you can say, well, I read the book, you know, I read these scriptures or what. No, take time and study. What do they mean, and how are they affecting you here in the kingdom of God? Because they are alive, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? They're alive, right? Quick and alive. Sharper than any two-edged sword, discerning even down to the marrow of our bones, right? Discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. That's what the Word of God does for you and I. And so if we want to obtain revelation knowledge, then we spend time with God. We spend time in the Word. Now, I just said it a few minutes ago, having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is how we get saved. So another component, you know, and there's others, but these two are the main two that I just wanted to key in on tonight. The next component, I believe, of us building our foundation on Christ, first you got to get a revelation of who He is. And the second thing, component would be faith. It's going to be faith, because our God is a faith God. You can't have a foundation in Christ without faith. Right? And we know that Hebrews 11:6, you know, if you want to jump over with me, let's go ahead and read it. Now, sometimes it's just good to read it, not only hear it, but see it. But jump over to Hebrews chapter 11. And let's just look here in verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's really the biblical definition of faith. Okay? That's the biblical definition. Now, I want you to jump from there right down to verse 6 here. Look what it says. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Now, see, there's that revelation knowledge, right? Must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Diligently seeking Him is for you to operate in faith. Believing what the Word of God says. And so, James says over in chapter 1, verse 6 and 8 there, he's talking about, of course, if any man lack wisdom. But he goes in and after he says, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally. But then he says this, but let him ask in faith. Notice that. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so here we have revelation of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and now we have faith in God and His Word. Okay? Now, since we understand that we've got to ask in faith, then we have to ask ourselves, you know, how do I obtain faith? Well, that's pretty easy, because the Word of God tells you how to, right? Everybody knows when you get over there and look in Romans 10:17, it says this, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So once again, you can look at this and say, we also get our faith from spending time with God, and spending time in the Word of God. See, so we can see how these two foundational components are really gotten from the same way. It's all about us spending time with God, spending time in the Word of God, getting ourselves, laying that good, solid foundation on us. Because, you know, Jesus told us that we'd have troubles. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulations. So, you know, we got to make sure that we got our foundation solid. He gives this example of a wise man and a foolish man. And what he was basically saying is this. Every one of us are going to face, if you notice, both of them face the same thing. Same storm, same rains, same water. One got washed away and the other stayed solid. And the reason he got washed away is because the Bible says instead of him having his foundation on the rock, he built on the sand, upon the earth. Church, you cannot build your life upon this world. This world is going. Come on. I want to make sure when the world goes, my foundation's still standing and I'm going up, not down. Come on now. I'm going to make sure that I'm where I need to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm keeping my foundation sure, okay? Now, we can ask the question and think about it if you want to, but, you know, because a lot of people, they, when you start talking about faith, they're like, you know, well, you know, I mean, I like that guy, you know, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. How do I know that I have faith? You probably, maybe you've asked yourself that before. Maybe you haven't, but it's important to know, because if one of the components of our foundation is faith, then we got to know that we have faith. So jump over here with me to James. I just read a little bit, but let's go over and let's look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Let me find it here real quickly. I want to show this to you. I can get there. Got the Hebrews. James chapter 2. Let me show this to you. Verse 14. James 2 and 14. He says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." I can't help when I read that. I start thinking about an old, old movie, and some of you may know and some of you may have never. How many of you remember the movie of Sheffy? The circuit riding preacher, Sheffy. S-H-E-F-F-Y. Well, let me just tell you, he was a circuit riding preacher back around the turn of the century, and he rode a horse and went from church to church out into the countries, and he would preach at churches and stuff. Started out as a young man. The first time he got so nervous when he got up to preach, he ran out the door. But as he aged, you know, they would have those big camp meetings and kind of things. But he was a faithful man of God. And one time he was out, it was very, very cold. There was a big snow on. And he came up on this family. And there they were. They had a horse that had been pulling the wagon, and their horse had died. And, you know, he talked to them a little bit, and he said, "Well, I'm going to pray for you." And so he got down on his knees, you know, and he began to pray. And he said, "Well, Lord, ain't no use me praying. I've got the answer." So he got off his horse and he gave them his horse and he started walking. I can't help but think of that. You see, he was going to pray. And he realized there's no use praying because I am the answer. That's why I'm here. I can't ask God to give them something that I've got because I've got it here. I can provide that for them. Think about that one for a minute. Sometimes that's what we do, you know, when it comes to faith. And people will say, "Well, I need you to believe with me," whatever. Sometimes we're the answer for them. Sometimes we're the help for them. But we just kind of let it slide. So that's what James is trying to get across here. You know, don't say I'm just going to pray for you. If you got what they need and you can give it to them, give it to them. Help them if you can. And that's what he's saying. But then he goes on and he says, you know, even so, if it hath not works, it's dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, "Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there's one God, thou doest well." The devils also believe and tremble. See, it's not enough just to believe in God. Did you hear me? Do you know most of the world believes in God, or a God at least? Yeah. But you see, that's no different than the devil. The devil believes in God. The difference in a Christian and a person that believes in God is the fact that they believe in the Son of God and make Him Lord and Savior of their life. Just believing in God does not make you saved. And a lot of people need to get that in their head. It's all about the relationship with His Son. It was His Son that died on a cross and became sin for us, went to hell, paid the price for us, and rose again on the third day. Amen. See, that's the stipulation for being saved, is to believe that and confess that Jesus is your Lord. And then Jesus says, you know, don't call me Lord unless you're going to do what I say. Right? So He's saying, the devils also believe and tremble. But will thou know, O man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, and the scripture fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see, church, when we're talking about do we have faith, there's some things we have to look at. Now, James is talking about faith and works together. But we have to remember what 1 Corinthians said up here, that the only works that would stand the test were the works that glorify God. Okay? When James is talking about works here, he's not talking about trying to work your way into heaven. No, he's talking about godly works, things that God will get glory out of when God uses you. In that movie, Sheffy, when he gave that horse away, he was glorifying God that God had him there for that time and that purpose when he gave that. And God got the glory out of that. He had to walk, and he finally walked through the woods, and when he got, his feet was almost frostbit by the time he got. Matter of fact, that thing goes on to say that the movie goes on. You might want to watch it sometime, but I'm worse than Willie Hired here telling, and Stevie telling a movie about a movie. They always tell you the whole thing. He walks on after he leaves his horse and starts walking. Guess what he runs into? He runs into a man whose feet are almost frostbit. What's he do? He down takes his socks off, gives the man his socks, and just keeps on walking. And he makes it finally to a place and where a woman gets him in, gets him warmed up, and he almost froze to death, but God got him through that. You see, God used him to help others and then took care of him. That's what God does with us when we're operating in faith. He'll use us to operate in faith and bless us for being able to do that. So when we look at this, we understand that our works have to be in God. Okay? A believer that exercises faith pleases God. Isn't that what it said over Hebrews 6? Without faith, it's impossible. So when we exercise faith, it pleases God. Now, 1 Corinthians 4:2 says this, moreover, it is required in stewards. It's a requirement in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. See, faith and faithful go together. Because if I've got faith, then I'm going to be faithful. Don't get mad at me now here, but there's so many people that try to operate in faith, but they don't have enough faith to be able to get them up on Sunday morning. Don't get mad at me now. There's people say they have faith, but they don't have enough faith to make it to church on Wednesday night. These people say that he's their Lord and can't get past, a little high school tournament that they're having that don't mean squat, so that they can come to church. They'd rather go watch a ball game of people playing that they don't even know. Don't get mad at me because I'm preaching good. It's truth, church. It's one of the deceptions of the devil to get people's eyes on worldly things like it means something. I mean, you know, they get so into it, they fight. Get thrown out of the game. What if Christians would get that excited about Jesus? Man, what would happen? You've got that kind of passion. But you've got to turn it loose. When we praise and worship's going on, you ought to praise Him like it's the last time you'll ever get to praise Him in your life. Because you never know, it might be the last time that you ever get to praise Him in your life. Come on, church. So we got to make, it says that it's required of stewards that they be found faithful. And notice he says, you know, you can say that you have faith. Having a godly foundation is more than just talk. It's more than just talk. If we say we have a relationship with Christ, we should want to hang out with Him. Right? I mean, you know, I've told you this before. I talk about it all the time. When I started my relationship with her, I just wanted to be around her all the time. Come on now, think about it. You, if you have a relationship with somebody, you want to be around them. Amen. Well, you know, when you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to be want to be around Him. You ought to, I mean, you know, don't most people, it's not as much as a thing anymore, but used to, people would gather up on every Sunday at the mother's house, right? The mother and father's house. And the kids would love just getting together and talking and all that. I mean, it was that coming together. And that's the way it's supposed to be in Father's house. It's every time they get an opportunity, they should want to come in and be in His presence, but also want to come in and fellowship with their brothers and sisters. You know, the Bible teaches us that iron sharpeneth iron. And when I'll be honest with you, I was talking with somebody today, and I actually jumped on to them and got kind of a little rough with them, but loved them at the same time about, you know, they've not been here in a long time. And I said, "Where you been?" "I can't lie to you. I said, "I know that." I said, "I want you to know that I love you and we miss you. You need to get yourself back in church." I said, "Because when you start missing, it makes it easy to miss and it's harder to get yourself going again." Isn't that right? Come on, anybody ever notice that if you're on a diet and you get going on that diet, you finally get yourself to do it. And once you get started on that thing and it's working for you, then you feel guilty if you eat something you're not supposed to. Anybody else been there besides me? I remember back when we did the Weight Watchers thing, that was one of those things that we were doing that and you know, it was we had certain foods we eat and stuff, and you know, sometimes we'd want to have a cheat day. But I felt guilty about having a cheat day because I was so in the habit of doing what I was supposed to be doing. Okay? And if we'll do that when it comes to God, if we'll get in the habit of coming worshiping Him, then the Holy Spirit will begin to talk to us and say, you know, you don't want to miss today. God might do something great today. There might be a miracle. Your miracle might take place today. You know, so we have to look at this and understand that if I've got a relationship with Him, I have to want to be around Him. I look for it. Listen, church is my life. I've got some hobbies, but church is my life. That's what I look forward to, is coming to church and being with the children of God. Not because I'm pastor. I was doing it before I was ever a pastor. You know why? Because I had a relationship with Christ. I had a relationship with Christ before He called me to preach. And we didn't miss church. The time I started missing church, guess what? I backslid. Why? Because I do not believe you can stay home and not go to church and still live for God. I think eventually you'll let the world slip in because you're not getting any spirit in. All you're getting is the world, and after a while you'll just quench the spirit in the world to take over in you. Now you might not believe that. You can think what you want to, but it's hard for me to believe somebody can come to church once a year and everything's good between them and God. And I know that'll ruffle a lot of feathers, you know, because you've got the people out there who thinks once saved, always saved. My Bible teaches me that I'm supposed to be coming all the time. Forsake not the assembling of yourself again. Right? Even more so as you see the day approaching. Anybody see the day approaching? I'm going to tell you something. We just escaped the full approach. You know, but now we've got a reprieve, and now it's time for us to press in. It's time for the church to build this foundation stronger than it's ever been. And making sure that if we've got a relationship with Him, we're hanging out with Him. You know, we're going to be doing some extra things and special things and some of those stuff. And I expect people to show up. Because we'll announce them before time and we'll give you a chance to. And I understand some things are planned a year ahead, but most things are not. You know. And if you really want to see your church grow and you want to see things happen, you want to even see your life grow, then you've got to get involved, church. You'll never feel a part of something you don't take ownership in. Ever hear about, you know, somebody renting a car? You know, they'll get that car, they'll rent that car, and they'll ride the wheels off that thing. I mean, let's see how fast this thing will go. Let's see if it'll burn the tars. Why is that? Because they don't own the tars and don't have to buy them back. If the car blows up, it's theirs. It's not. Right? But if it's yours, you know, young men find out real early when they ain't got daddies that give them everything. Young men find out early that burning those tires means after a while they're going to be running on treads, and they either have to get a job to buy more tires or they have to park the car. Why? Because that's theirs. They own it. And therefore, they got to keep it up. You see? And when you take, I mean, this building, it's yours. I know it belongs to God, but you're a child of God, so it's yours. Right? So you ought to want to see the building in the best shape it could be in. The carpet, the bathrooms. You know, I went over to clean the bathrooms not long ago over in the family center, and I went in to clean the commodes, and there was footprints up on the top of the commode, which means somebody got up and stood on the commode and squatted to use the bathroom. And I'm sitting there thinking, we have the cleanest bathrooms of anywhere in the country. And you know, besides that, you know, if you still think that you're cleaner than anybody else, get you some toilet paper and lay down on there, but don't put footprints up there that somebody else got to come along and clean off. See, when you don't take ownership, you do stuff like that. It's important that we take ownership. We tell our kids, hey, this is our church. This, when we come to church, we're coming to worship God and taking ownership in what God's doing here. These are our services. They're not Mike Tackett's services. I can't do anything, but when the Holy Ghost comes into this place, man, there ain't nothing impossible to us. When He starts flowing, and He wants us, we're the body. He wants to flow through us all and operate in all of us. Okay? So we got to realize that our foundation is more than talk. We're going to act out what we say and out of our mouth if we really have faith and have a foundation. If we truly have a revelation of who He is, we understand that there's nothing more important than Him. Nothing more important than Him. You know, if we say we have faith, then we should be acting on faith. You see, because faith is doing what the Word says. And Jesus plainly said, don't even call me Lord if you're not going to do what I say. Why would you call me Lord when you don't do what I say? And so when we start looking at these things, we understand that our foundation has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, getting a revelation, getting over in faith, and building our faith from the Word of God. I'm going to close with this. 2 Timothy says this, 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. See, our foundation has got to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, church. We have to understand that and understand this. God knows who are His. And you better know that you are His. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us, Father God. Help us to make our foundations sure that they're built upon the revelation knowledge that You've given us. And they're built upon the Word of God so that we stand when storms come and it won't hinder us. It won't wash us away, but it'll only make us stronger because we understand that our faith is what got us through that. And we'll give You glory for that. Father, help us, Lord, to realize and know that if we're going to have faith in You, we're going to have to act on that faith. And Lord, for everything You're preparing to do, Father, we thank You, Lord God, that we're going to receive it by faith. We're going to walk in it by faith, and we're going to enjoy the fruits of what You do because You are our Lord and we're Your children. And we thank You for that now in the name of Jesus. And everybody receives that, say, amen. Anybody need us to pray with you for anything? Lay hands on you, believe God with you.